Hello, Annie Trenders. Welcome to the Girl Taku, hosted by the ladies of Anime Trending. If you're looking for a nice tea and deep dive analysis about otaku things, you've come to the right place. We love our conversation and discussion, and we're back with another fun topic on the table. My name is Gracie, and I'm joined by...
Hello, I am Isabel, and...
This is Agnes.
So, without further ado, the Girl Taku today will be about our favorite sceneries and visuals. We're actually kind of taking a cue from our Anime Trending Awards, which, by the way, for everyone, please go vote. Regardless if I agree with your taste or not, please go vote. But one of our categories in our Anime Trending Awards is called Favorite Sceneries and Visuals, specifically background art and, you know, shots, particular shots of the anime that we find to be very beautiful. And that is what we are going to talk about today is obviously not restricted by a single year like our Anime Trending Awards, but overall, what are some of our favorite sceneries and visuals we've seen in anime? And I'm going to go ahead and let you start us off today, Agnes, because the baton goes to you. So, Agnes, what are some anime with your favorite sceneries and visuals?
Yeah, for sure. And are we counting movies in this as well, or are we just doing solely anime series?
I mean, I think we can go ahead and count movies. This isn't, like I said, this isn't the actual Anime Trending Awards, so.
Okay. Excellent, okay. Because I did put down like a secondary series that was like, well, you know, I could definitely choose it if it was the case that I needed to have two specific series. But because we can do movies, I think it makes more sense to do movies for sceneries and visuals, just because... A lot of movies in the anime industry are very well curated and crafted, that their visuals are so much more stunning than a normal anime series, which unfortunately suffers from the weekly grind of animating the episode each week. So that's why I think we have to also mention about movies. So the first movie that I want to mention that I really thought the animation, or at least the background sceneries, were absolutely stunning and outstanding would be, surprisingly, a Shinkai movie. Specifically Weathering With You, which is actually a movie that I don't particularly like for its plot, but I think its background visuals are incredibly stunning, even more so than Your Name and the most recent one, Suzume.
Really? You think it's more beautiful than Your Name? That's because most people, I think, well, first of all, we all agree that Your Name's story is better, so that might be a reason why, but I feel like some people think Your Name's like visuals is just, you know, it's unstoppable, so...
I mean, yes, in some degree, but I don't think Makoto Shinkai has reached the pinnacle of water animation in Your Name as compared to Weathering With You.
Okay.
So I'll give a little interesting snippet. I had a friend in college who had recently begun watching more anime. He did watch some anime and he was like a big JoJo's fan, but he was so busy with school that he never really watched anime. He only started watching anime films more recently when Makoto Shinkai started pushing stuff in theaters. And so when we were in college, the movie of Weathering With You had just come out. And I remember he and I had watched it separately. I had watched it with other friends and he watched it by himself. And I remember going up to him and I was like, yeah, you know, Weathering With You, it has like a really weird storyline. I don't really like it, but it was like fine. And he was telling me like, oh, really? I'm the opposite. I love Weathering With You. And I'm like, really? What do you like about Weathering With You? And he was telling me that it was the details of the background scenery and the water that was depicted in the movie. And he was so entranced by how visually stunning it was and so incredibly detailed with the way that the water glistens and stuff like that, that he said that he went to go see the 4D screening of Weathering With You because he was just so impressed by it. He was so excited to go see the 4D screening too. And I was just like, whoa, okay, what is he talking about? Like, is he onto something or is he just, you know, some anime casual that, you know, I don't want to associate with? But, you know, that's a different story. And then when I thought about it more and more, I'm like, you know, as much as the story's detraction, the main story's detraction is that it's just really messy, Weathering With You has incredible scenery and setting visuals of just depicting water, the rain, and its association with religion as a whole, and why like water is like such a big thing because it's a mode of purification, even in like old Shinto like religions as well. So with Makoto kind of just reaching that peak then with water animation, I was like, that is a previous title that was previously held by Kyoto Animations. And at the time, nothing could beat Kyoto Animation until Makoto Shinkai. And I was just like, okay, this movie is worth mentioning because of his sceneries and visuals for Weathering With You.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting that, but I will say, I think I remember the food scenes from Weathering With You more than I did
the food scenes. Okay, that's fair. The food scenes were very good. It's not very on par. I think when it came out, people were comparing it with Ghibli films, which is already its own pinnacle of, like, food scenes from Ghibli films are the best portrayed, and therefore
right,
nothing will
top
that.
But also, their styles are very, very different.
Oh, absolutely. They are very different. I think, well, who was it? I think it was... Studio Ghibli's founder doesn't quite like Makoto Shinkai, if I recall.
Really? Or some sort, I hadn't seen that yet. I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe it. I just haven't seen that yet. So.
I saw some sort of comment where it was a director dissing on Makoto Shinkai's success. And I remember a lot of fans being like, wow, he's an old timer. He doesn't know.
Wow. Oh, wait, are you? Okay. This is a Studio Ghibli, but I do remember seeing a Gundam series director complaining about Shinkai's romance and how, like, the guy doesn't ever touch the girl, how it's very chaste. That's what I remember.
Well, I mean, knowing how Makoto's works work, I guess, in comparison to, like, Your Name and also with Suzume, I think he wanted them to touch somewhere in Weathering With You, but somehow it just didn't come into production, so.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, that's the one director comment I've seen is the one Gundam director, because Gundam's had so many directors since, so
right.
It's not fair
to
say.
So I guess maybe I was mistaken that it wasn't from Studio Ghibli that was on Makoto Shinkai. But regardless aside, I think Weathering With You deserves a, like, sceneries and visuals, best in sceneries and visuals, like, plaque, because it did so well in animating water at the time.
Yeah, and, you know, Isabel, I, you know, you've talked about various Makoto Shinkai films and topics before, so I guess we've never really done a comparison of just, like, background art, so do you feel the same way as Agnes, where you think that Weathering With You is the most beautiful of all three films, or at least the three most modern films that Makoto Shinkai put out, or is there one that you think of the three is still better?
Yeah, I would actually agree. I never thought of it that way. I grouped the film, like, as a whole, so then, like, I've always been more drawn to Your Name. But I have to agree that the visuals in Weathering With You definitely stuck with me more when I think about it. So, but yeah, I mean, I watched all three films maybe, like, at least more than once already, just because I like the visuals all together.
Dang, Isabel's a true Makoto Shinkai fan.
Even Suzume, you've watched more than once?
Yes, but, like, the thing is, I'm not, like, before Your Name came out, I was not a Shinkai fan. Like,
okay,
I was not,
that's fair. That's
like,
right.
About his movies. I guess the other one that I also thought the backgrounds were really nice was Garden of Words.
I was thinking about
his original
that,
words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really like that one as well. It's just, like, all that detail and, like, listening and things like that. But now, like, yeah, ever since the movies come out, I have, like art books for the movies.
Wow, you got these art books?
Yeah, or, like, I don't know, it's like the, you know, character design books and things like that. So.
Oh, yes. That's cool. I didn't know you were a collector. One of these days I should grab something like that. That sounds great. How did you get it? Where did you get it
actually,
off of?
I've been gifted them, so now I have
them.
But I've always wanted them. Like, whenever I go to a bookstore, I always look at the books, though, because I'm just so curious about the art and how they drew it and things like that. And obviously they have the section of the food. I also really love the food in Your Name as well, just because it reminds me of myself taking pictures whenever I eat food.
Mm-hmm. I almost forgot about the food in Your Name. I was more like, are you talking about the sake bottle at the end of Your Name? And then I remember the food.
Yeah, it's like, I'm trying to think of the one in Suzume, but maybe...
Suzume
not,
didn't really have a lot of food visuals. I think it was more focused on the environmental aspect and scope of, like, Japan's, like, countryside as they're, like, traveling through and trying to close all the gates and stuff. So I don't think there was a lot of emphasis on food as compared to his other movies. Maybe some of the higher up executives are telling him, like, stop focusing on food and start focusing on plot.
Well,
I
would even say that the focus was more on the girl, like, or specifically Suzume's relationships with the various women that she met. Like, that was so I showed Shauna Suzume when she was here, and that was something Shauna immediately noticed. She was like, there's such, like, care and, like, there's such care and attention to detail put into specifically when she's having like a one-on-one conversation with either the girl, the high school girl who's her age, or the woman who owns a restaurant, the single mom and stuff like that. She even notices, she was like, the way that the expressions just like minutely changes, and there's just such obvious like detail put into it. And so I think that's kind of where it went in Suzume instead. So
no, yeah, that's a fantastic point. Because I think the rest of the other shows feature more male characters, or at least more side male characters as compared to Suzume.
Yeah, it's like also, it's like your name is a your antagonist, so the boy and the girl were equally important. And then in Weathering With You, it was a boy protagonist with a secondary female protagonist. But then in Suzume, it's flipped. It's a female protagonist with a secondary male protagonist. So yeah.
got it. Yeah.
But okay, so that is your first pick. Then what is your second pick for best in series and visuals?
My second pick is actually a series that I struggled to finish for a very long time, but I am seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I think I'm two episodes away from the finale, and it is March Comes In Like a Lion.
Okay.
That I think has best sceneries and visuals, and it must have won something from our Anime Trending Awards in terms of best sceneries and visuals, because it is by far one of Shaft's most gorgeous works, aside from like the Monogatari series, because it's just so different. A lot of times in anime, background sceneries and visuals are very crisp with detail, with the line art, especially in things like Violet Evergarden, right, that you would see from Kyoto Animation. But March Comes In Like a Lion has a very different way of depicting backgrounds and visuals in a watercolor sequence that I think is very detailed yet very mesmerizing, because it's all the colors that are like blurred together, but they still make like a shape. And some of the very more prominent scenes that I remember for background visuals that really stood out to me is, again, the depiction of water from Shaft, which is very different depiction as compared to Makoto Shinkai and Weathering With You, and also the very famous burnt fields, which comes in the later half of March Comes In Like a Lion. I think maybe like the third or the fourth season of the series, where there's a competitor who is very old and he carries on his back the burden of many other players who have dropped out from the match. And he himself has to maintain this title in order to obtain another title called the Eternal Kisho, where his original title as Kisho was undefeated for over 10 matches that lasted for all of his life. And the burnt fields is just so iconic because it's just very raw in emotion. There's a blackened background, and it's just a stark black and white of him struggling through these burnt fields that are painted in this watercolor that really makes you feel like the depths of his despair of trying to hold out on his life for as long as he can just so that he can obtain this title. And I was just so incredibly moved by that in March Comes In Like a Lion. I was like, this is the best sceneries and visuals that this show has to offer in its entirety of its run. And I really think that Shaft really pulled it off at the very end.
Yeah, so I know that you've been watching quite
voraciously. Yes, I talked to you about it. Yeah, I was telling Gracie, I was like, man, I hate this bullying art, and oh, I'm going to cry again. kind of
Even though I've talked about this bullying arc how many times
now? I know, we've talked about this bullying arc a lot. I finally finished the bullying arc into the Burnt Fields arc, so that was a journey. So.
So for me, I've talked about this, but I've always wished that we could have had a best in cinematography, because that's definitely what I always think of when it comes to March Comes In Like a Lion, is the cinematography. But I'm going to be honest, I don't remember that scene you talked about. Like, I might have to go back and revisit, because the scenes that are ingrained in my head is so much to do with the bullying arc.
The bullying arc is very iconic of the series. I understand.
Yeah, and then also him meeting Shimada and me being like, finally, there's an unproblematic man in father figure in his life.
You love Shimada.
So it's just like, and so those other things, they kind of stripped away. Though I do remember another scene, but that was also because it made me angry, so, and not to do with bullying, but more of just like how messed up his family situation is. And I'm just like,
oh, yes.
I'm just like, everyone just go to therapy.
Therapy doesn't exist in Japan. They have to make do with what they have.
Like, I know. But every time, just like, maybe y'all should go to therapy. So,
although I do have to remark that the other scene that I remember that was more on the cutesy side, but in visuals, it was kind of interesting, was when Nikaido comes over and he teaches Momo how to play shogi.
Oh, with the cats and stuff.
With the cats. Yeah, it's kind of cute. And that's all I remember from that. So.
Yeah, no, that was very cute. Very iconic as well. Isabel, what did you think of March Comes in Like a Lion's sceneries and visuals?
Yeah, I had similar thoughts to Agnes as well when I was watching the show. The scenes that I really like was definitely the water scenes, or like the scenes where Ray was like walking along the bridge or something like that. I don't know. It just stood out. Maybe like it's like lingered there. It was also kind of like in the opening as well. So like I was drawn to that. And then I guess also whenever he's sitting in his room alone and then you kind of see like that moonlight through the window just shining. And then he's like alone in his apartment. It just feels like it's like a great, I guess, like representation of his space. And then also just having that the city lights coming through the window or the moonlight, I thought that was really beautiful as well. But yes, I found myself definitely kind of looking out for those moments, in addition to the cat scenes and as well as the shogi scenes in March Comes in Like a Lion as well.
Isn't everyone still just waiting for season 3 right now?
Yep.
There's more.
Well, no, we don't know. But a lot of people obviously wanted more after that second season because, I mean, you're on it. I think you know how excellent it is. So,
oh, this is only considered the second season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a lot more in the manga. I think it's still ongoing, actually, now that I think about it. Now I need to check.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I'm curious now that there's another shogi manga that's being adapted. That was from the author of You're a Lion, April. And so I'm like, for me, I always associate with March Comes in Like a Lion. So I'm curious as to how I'm going to take that new anime coming in, or how we depict it anyway.
I do want to say, yes, it's still ongoing. It's actually been going on for it's going to reach, it's definitely been going on for 15 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So starting in 2007, and it's had 17 volumes. So
that is as long as a shonen series. Jesus.
Yeah. It's, it's really good. So I hopefully, you know, the second season obviously made a huge impact on me for very obvious reasons. So I'm hoping that a third season come in. But of course, most importantly, hoping that even if a third season is made, it's made with the same people behind the first two seasons' productions and, you know, not made in a rush like a lot of other animes tend to be made these days. So if it's the case where the quality has to go down, then I think I'm okay with sticking to the first two seasons. So
let it be said that hopefully it will manifest by the time this podcast is released.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true.
Kimi ni Todoroke did that, and a couple others did some. Let's see what happens.
Did you have a third one, Agnes, or are those two?
No, I only had those two to feature.
Okay, perfect. So in that case, I'm going to go ahead and say it. So my first one is actually a new one. First one. So one of my favorite sceneries and visuals is currently airing, and it's Frieren. I love Frieren's, like, background, like, it just takes my breath away at times, and it's once again a testament to like how it's how I think it's so objectively good is that Shauna, when she was here, you know, Shauna comes every year to hang out with me, and when I forced her to watch Frieren, which in my defense, she did end up loving it, so I kept up with it, but I forced her to watch Frieren, and there were scenes where she straight up forgot to read, like, the words on screen.
Oh my god, Shauna!
Because she was paying attention to the art and stuff, and then she was like, oh wait, go back, I missed the words, and so,
Shauna,
and I would have to rewind it.
I'm gonna roast her about this later. I can't believe she did not read the subtitles and was so entranced with the background.
Yeah, that's literally because nothing was happening. There was no fights, no anything. It was just a shot of the like the scenery. And there were words on there about how many years since Himmel, our lovely boy, Himmel died. And she straight up didn't see him because she was just looking at the background. And then she was like, wait, like go back because I missed it. And I had to go back to show her. And I was like, what were you looking at? And she was like, I was just looking at the background because it was so pretty. And I was just like, okay. I think what really helps Frieren, obviously, is that there are certain scenes. There's a lot of montages in Frieren because quite a bit of time passes. Like, several years have already passed by now if you start from the first episode to the current episode. So there's a lot of scenes where you don't hear anything, or you don't hear, like, words, or, and in its own way, nothing is really happening, as in pushing the plot along, or fights, or whichever. It's just showing kind of, like, snapshots of what they're doing as time passes, but they really milked those moments to show some, like, just gorgeous shots overhead of whether it's different cities. And that's the cool thing as well. I noticed, like, every single village and every single city looks extremely distinct from each other. Like, there, you can tell there's, like, different cultures happening between every single place they're going to. And usually I would argue that a lot of anime, especially isekai anime, you can't really tell the difference from an aerial shot, but you can definitely see the difference in Frieren. And then there's the nature differences as well. One of the probably most iconic screenshots is when she's, like, just laying in the water and is just surrounded by, like, leaves that are, like, hanging down from tall trees. That scene is just stuck in my head because I genuinely thought to myself, that looks beautiful. Like, if you just take that screenshot and print it out in, like, good high quality way and then frame it, I absolutely bet there are going to be people who think that this is an actual print that you bought online from, like, an artist who's selling prints and stuff. And so, yeah, I really love Frieren's background. It's become one of my favorites instantly. And sometimes what I like to do is I'll even go back to certain episodes and just pause just so I can look at every single little detail, because they really put in a lot of detail in the background for things that really makes the world feel alive in its own way. So, yeah, so that's my first pick. And Agnes, I know you're watching Frieren. What did you think of Frieren's background and sceneries when you first started it?
It's funny that you mentioned it, because it didn't cross my mind that Frieren would have such great backgrounds and visual scenery. But I think the one that I like the most, because I know the one that you're talking about her being in the water and there's, like, leaves around her, yep, is very beautiful. I like the cathedral with the flowers, where they come across, like, the broken chapel. The broken chapel, that's the wrong English. The damaged chapel. The chapel's not a thing. Like, it's not, like, a small little toy. It's a structure. The damaged chapel, and she decides to flood it with a spell to create flowers. And it's just, like, this flurry of flowers in this open flower field that Heiter and what's the dwarf's name? I'm blanking out right now. I'm so
Aizen.
Heiter and Aizen just start, like, running through the fields and, like, laughing.
Oh, yeah, they were putting crowns on each other's heads and be like, I dub you princess, or, like, like that kind of movement in the background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you see, like, Aizen, like, do, like, a little twirl.
Yes, I remember
that's
that.
My favorite part.
Yeah, no,
and then, of course,
so
you get
cute.
the heartwarming scene of, like, Himmel putting the crown on Frieren's head, and everyone goes, aw. But that's my favorite, I think, background and scenery visual from the series.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. And, Isabel, are you watching Frieren or no?
I haven't caught up yet. I'm, like, in the middle of it. But, the scenery have not stood out to me. I feel like I haven't gotten that far, maybe.
Okay.
Which part are you at a Frieren, if you don't mind telling us the details?
I got to where they go. Oh, I don't remember what happens first, because I watched it all in one go. So this is what happens when I binge anime. I don't remember when it happened.
Oh no, Isabel!
It was like at least eight episodes, I think. But it was like, the last thing I remember was that we're talking about him taking out the sword, but he actually didn't take out the sword.
Oh,
okay. Yes.
Yeah,
and then, like, the birthday present or something like that. That's all I remember. But I feel like up until that point, the sceneries and visuals definitely haven't stood out to me. I definitely really liked the animation when Fern was fighting.
Oh, her infamous catwalk of her shooting spells. Yeah.
That one. So that's the only thing that stood out to me so far. Like, I had to take a moment and be like, whoa, I want to watch that again.
You weren't touched when Stark was fighting off with the dragon?
It was okay.
Gracie, you are our Stark fangirl in this chat. I am a little bit more neutral with Stark, but you are his number one fan. Is that one?
No, I just mean that scene, like, as a whole, like, at all the Sakuga blogs were talking about that scene when the dragon fight happened. So,
oh yes, the Sakuga scene was good. I do admit that, but I also agree with Isabel, like, the dragon fight scene isn't so much of a background scenery visual, like a still scenery visual. It was just animation, right?
Right.
And then Fern's, in any case, is also kind of like an animation pull as well, not necessarily like a background scenery and visual. So that's a different take from that, I guess. But I also kind of agree with Isabel's part too, because a lot of the little villages and towns that they go to do all these like odd requests and jobs, they're all very standard fare, like medieval European towns. So I can see why you're just kind of like, there's nothing too mesmerizing about that other than like, yeah, it's pretty standard.
But what about the fact that each of the villages have like different cultures? Like, you notice how, or at least these are the stuff I pay attention to, but like the first village, when they were hunting for the flowers, like the undergrowth was a lot more bushy and the weeds were a lot more pronounced. And then the next village they went to with the shipwreck, like you'll notice that the people in town, the way that their homes are built a little more like ships, and it's like they're very much dependent on the ocean because they're by the ocean and stuff like that. Or is it just like me who's been pausing and looking at these things?
I think it's been you pausing it and recognizing it than the rest of us.
I think I love these things because, first of all, I took an anthropology class in a college that I absolutely adored. And it's really opened my eyes on some of the smallest things that you notice in like cultures between places, whether it's even something as like two cities who might be happening in the same state. Actually, Houston and Dallas is a perfect example where two very, very different cities that are as not like ridiculously far from each other, but there's like a distinctiveness to each of these cities. And that's what I've like really noticed that Frieren has in the background. Like, even the sort of style of the decorations, for example, when with Aura's you haven't gotten there yet, Isabel, but with like Aura's city that Frieren rescued, like they're a lot more plain and simple. And it literally has to do with the fact that their culture is a lot more direct and they don't really lavish things or put garnishes and stuff like that. But then the next big city they go to, it's like very distinct architecture. So, I think it's just like I find it exciting when I can see these differences versus like whenever I do it for other isekai anime, I'm like, they're literally the same. They just changed the colors. That's what they did. So, okay, so my second one is, I have it as my, funnily enough, I even have it as my background on my laptops, but it's Akabi Sailor the Uniform.
Okay.
Yeah, so Akabi Sailor Uniform was nominated, I think, last year for our Best in Sceneries and Visuals, and I think it was third. It was pretty high up, but it didn't win number one, but it was pretty high up. And Akabi Sailor Uniform is another one of those where I like just can pause it, and I just think it looks breathtakingly beautiful. I think it's the way they do the light. Akabi Sailor Uniform is very particular about their lighting, and that's sort of like what caught people's attention about the anime in the first place, because when the first PV came out, I don't know if you guys remember, but like everyone on Annie Twitter was kind of like in a huge rush, not only just because it was produced and created by Cloverworks, but specifically Akabi was getting ready for school and she like lifts up her hair briefly to get it out of the collar of her shirt, and the light moved down her hair, and that was like a crazy attention to detail that nobody was expecting from this what looks to be like a simple slice of life anime. So that's a bad example for sceneries and visuals specifically, because that's more to do with animation, the way it moves. But I think that attention to detail and light is also what lent itself to its sceneries and visuals. Like the screenshot I have as like my desktop background is when she's running her way to school and she pauses briefly to like take a quick water break by like a small stream. This is the very first episode, and it just like slowly, like the scene literally stills in the fact that she's drinking from the water, and I took a screenshot of that, and it's just absolutely beautiful. And it was so pretty that when I put it as my desktop for my computer, my mom saw it, and my mom stopped while she was walking and was just like, "Where is that from? That's so gorgeous." And so I was like, yay, I got my mom's attention with this. But I think it's just the, there's like soft lighting, and then there's harsh lighting. And then at times it's just like spotlights, literal spotlights, like how her memories will be dimmer. But then she goes into present time, and immediately it's like all the stage lights are on around her. And I think like that's those sort of like sceneries and visuals were just really pretty. And I also do like the random moments where it kind of like pauses and the art becomes very stylized, specifically when it's like a character defining moment between the characters. And I think one of the famous ones was probably her very first one, where she pretended to be like, or she mimicked an idol from like a commercial, and literally the scene just paused and it looked more artworky and penciled in. And so I really liked those moments as well. So yeah, I really love Akabi Sailor Uniforms, sceneries and visuals. I literally make it my computer desktop. So I think both of you have seen it as well. So I'm curious to hear what you guys think.
I actually haven't seen it, so.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, never yeah. mind.
No, that's okay.
Agnes, have you? What did you think of it?
I actually have a pretty hard time recalling Akabi Sailor's Uniform's backgrounds.
Oh my gosh. Do you not remember just the moments where it goes quiet?
No.
Oh my gosh.
And the only thing, I had to like actually go Google search it online. I'm so sorry, Gracie. And like flick through photos to like jog my memory. But there's no screenshots of it, unfortunately, so I don't remember much. But I did come across a screenshot of when her friend does like the diving in the river.
Oh, yeah.
And is wearing the wetsuit. And at one point I looked at it and I was like, wow, the background visuals for that water and that grass look absolutely stunning. And I do have to admit, like, even the promo poster for Akabi Sailor Uniform, where she's at the school gate standing underneath the sakura, like, cherry blossom trees, yeah. is very iconic for its backgrounds and scenery. So as much as I loathe to say that I don't remember it, I'll take your word for it.
Girl, I need you to pay attention to these because, like I said, I was...
Look, I pay attention to historical details, not scenery details.
But it's just, it's so pretty with the lighting.
Okay, to be fair, I also don't care too much about slice of life shoujo things either, so sometimes these things escape me.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
My brain just like turns off unless it's like My Happy Marriage, where there's like an abundance of historical relevance and I'm like, right, I'm awake now.
And you're not even talking about how it's pretty or anything, you're just like, oh my gosh, they have this kind of detail.
Yes, that's literally me, because I don't expect it from a shoujo. My brain just turns off with shoujo.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Sorry, guilty as charged.
I am shocked because that Akabi Sailor Uniform, I think, is just like, okay. Because I'm looking at the screenshots I took and I was like, yeah, it was beautiful. I guess, have you seen screenshots or have you seen even the trailer for it when it first came out? Because I do, like I said, I do distinctly remember everyone was freaking out when the first PV came out. It was just the hair that people were freaking out over.
No, I just knew that there was, like, discourse about feet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because, I mean, Jack said Jack's checked out the manga and he definitely said that, like, the manga didn't do as good of a job of it, let's just say it like that. So.
I imagine it, so yeah.
Yeah. But Isabel, have you seen any screenshots, or have you, or I guess, like, we've talked about Kepi's sailor uniform before, so have you seen anything about it after we mentioned it, or, you know, even just other people's screenshot of things?
Oh yeah, definitely seen, like, the articles on it as well, before it came out, and after it came out a little bit, but yes, I always thought that the character design was very interesting, and I always wondered how popular it would be, but...
Like, it looked a little different than usual.
Yeah, like, it was just something about it that I was like, this seems really pretty for some reason. It doesn't seem like your typical, like, shoujo type, like, I guess, like, PV or, like, poster type or key visual. Mm-hmm. And so that always drew me in. And then when you're talking about it, I also looked at kind of, like, the backgrounds or the Google search, like, Agnes. I actually really like the backgrounds, or, like, the... when they have shots of, like, the hills and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really pretty as well. So I can see why you put it as, like, your background for, or wallpaper, because, yes, it is breathtaking. And I like how, like, the reflections in the water or the lake as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's really nice.
Yeah. This is not really to do with sceneries and visuals, but this is one thing that just got stuck in my head with Akabi's sailor uniform. So what happened was they... the girls, they were, like, playing in the water at one point, and like teenage girls do, they recorded themselves doing it. But then they later showed that video to, I think, Akabi's younger sister or something like that. And this is so cool. The animators literally reanimated it in, like, a tiny screen, but accurate in the fact that the angle it was taken was different from the angle that we as viewers watched them at. So it was a new perspective of them playing in the water together that I just was not expecting at all, that kind of level of detail in the anime. So that part kind of really tickled me, and I really remembered it because I was like, I really did not see that coming, that they would reanimate the scene literally in a phone, like a phone ratio, to show the actual recording of the scene. And you literally can't just take the scene that we saw and just minimize it and put it in, like, a smaller ratio, because it wouldn't make sense as to what angle the girls had recorded themselves in. So they literally did it from a different angle and a different perspective for that. And I thought that was really cool as well. Alrighty, so those are my two picks, and Isabel, it is now your turn. So what are your two picks for your favorite sceneries and visuals that you've seen?
Yeah, my first one, we mentioned it earlier as well, but I think it's very obvious. It's Violet Evergarden.
Ah, hey. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The poster child of best sceneries and visuals.
Exactly. But yeah, like Violet Evergarden, like ever since the kind of like the trailer for it came out, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it had so much details. I mean, the animation itself is also great, but just the details on the little things, and again, like the water, but then also mostly whenever Violet goes on like her travels and things like that, I felt that like each episode was like its own little like movie. It felt like, just because you could see, like, especially the trees, I think in one of the episodes, I really liked watching that. And then her just, like, you know, looking at the water or something like that. And then there's, like, that stark contrast between whenever she's outside versus kind of, like, her memories when she was, like, back in the military. And then kind of, like, those darker moments. But even those, like, felt real to me. And then, I don't know, I just felt like the, like, Violet Evergarden, in terms of the place, I guess the places that the anime depicts or the novel depicts, it just felt so like you could immerse yourself in that world. Like, I could see myself there, or just be able to appreciate what's there. And then if there are moments where the characters aren't talking at all, just like appreciating the scenery or just like walking by, and then you hear like footsteps or things like that, it just makes you like appreciate just like the art. Like, I think Violet Evergarden is probably one of those shows. I think, like you said, Shauna, earlier, forgot to read the words. That was probably me in some of the episodes, where I was like, oh, I just want to see that again, like Violet doing this, and then totally forgetting to read what she was saying, because, you know, because she speaks in such a monotone that, yeah, I would have to go back to it. But yeah, I just feel like there's like you can show Violet Evergarden to anyone, and then I feel like it's also a very easy show for to introduce to people just because, you know, it's visually stunning, and so people will easily get into it, and it's like it's not too long either, and people can watch the movies as well. So, but yes, I want to know what you guys think of it as well. Did you also watch it for the sceneries or get lost in them as well?
Oh yeah, I definitely watched it for the scenery. I was also a very casual anime watcher when watching Violet Evergarden. What about you, Gracie?
I was going to say, have you guys noticed that there's a bit of a consistency with our fascination with water in animation? Because Violet Evergarden's most iconic scene is also related to water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny, because I wasn't even thinking of her iconic scene in water. I was thinking of her, like, her little walk through the town in episode one. That was more visually stunning to me. Well, also because it comes with, like, the historical backdrop of, like, this is a post-war scenario. So I was just like, oh, now I remember this, but, you know. thought the very close attention to detail of, like, what a post-war would look like, it almost feels like it jumps straight out of an old, like, photo from, like, maybe after World War One or World War Two, of the little attention to detail of the type of technology, the cobblestones, the houses, the waterfront. It looks all very, like, post-war Europe sort of vibe in that time period of, like, the early 1900s. So I was really impressed by the attention to detail from those backgrounds.
Okay, yeah, because I was thinking of the famous scene where she takes the umbrella and she tries to, like, run over the water, because mm-hmm. I know that there's 1,000 fan art over that particular scene.
Oh yeah,
scene,
there's.
So.
Well, that's Kyoto Animation at its peak then, right?
Yeah.
It's just animating water. They've perfected animating water for an anime series specifically.
Oh, you're right.
Because they did
water
it for free.
Immaculate. You are right.
Yeah. I mean, their first venture into animating water was the free promo, the OVA before even the free series, so they have their water mechanics down pat.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. They have knowledge. They have prior knowledge.
They have prior knowledge.
What I was going to say is that I think, ironically, Violet Evergarden's backgrounds are so beautiful that it kind of overshadowed the actual series itself. And I love Violet Evergarden, but this is why we get comments all the time from people who are like, Violet Evergarden is overrated, because the only reason why people like it is because how beautiful the backgrounds look. And so I'm like, it's reached a point where it's like the background is just so spectacular that people think that matters more than everything else in the series and the story, because you definitely wouldn't hear that comment about, like, Frieren or, I mean, and Weathering With You is a little difficult because Makoto Shinkai's films have a very distinct style in their background as well, so I don't think anyone would really argue that, because you'd have to argue all the other stuff he makes are also like that, so, but it's just like, but Violet Evergarden is like one of those few anime where I keep seeing those comments when they say it's overrated. They don't say the usual things like they say about JJK or Naruto or whichever big shonen anime it is. It's always just, oh, it's only popular because it's just so pretty. Like, that's what they say. And I find that interesting and also a little ironic at the same time.
Yeah, it is a bit ironic for sure.
Isabel, I guess, is there anything else you want to say? Like, any other scenes in particular? Because both Agnes and I shared a particular scene that we remember the background for. What about you?
Yeah, I think for me it would be the same water walking across the water scene with the umbrella. That mm-hmm. definitely probably stood out to me the most. At least it is the most memorable for me as well. Mm-hmm. The other scene is probably, I don't think it's probably not a scenery. It's mostly, like, her mechanical hands that
oh, yes.
stood out to
I
me.
Think that is. Like,
it's
when
beautiful.
It's just still
yeah.
and it shows it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the way the light bounces off of it, or, like, the different shades in the hand itself, because I've done art before and it's so hard to shade properly, especially if it's all the same color, or, like, you know, if you look at the hand, it's like gray, but there's different types of gray. and it's like the first thing that you learn, like, art too sometimes in the classes, is which shade versus that shade, and then whatever color you need to add to it. it's just so many steps that, like, I'm just amazed by how, you know, artists are actually able to do that and make that distinct. And then add it with the sound and everything. I feel like, yeah, every time she showed her hands, I thought that was, like, even though the characters were also surprised, I was also surprised just because of, like, how detailed and how pretty it was.
Yeah. Okay, so excellent choice. So what's your second one for your favorite sceneries and visuals you've seen in anime?
Yeah, my second one is Great Pretender.
I mentioned Great Pretender in one of our episodes regarding aesthetics, where I specifically talked about the coloration, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the coloration is also included in that for Great Pretender. You know, when Great Pretender was first airing, I really didn't expect much from it, just because based on what it looked like from the trailer, I just thought it was kind of like a typical anime type, like half anime, but also it kind of looked like it might have some like cartoonish features that we see in Western cartoons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I kind of expected. But then when it took it to kind of like see, like showing scenes from like each city where the characters were going and things like that, I thought the visuals were amazing, or at least like the still shots. I remember when we first posted as well, we had scenes of like LA versus like Singapore, and I was like blown away by these, because like these places are real, right? And so the fact that they exist and then we can compare them to what we might have seen before, it just makes it so different, especially like in that first scene where our main character is in front of the Hollywood sign. I thought that was very interesting and also really funny. But I also like you said, for the aesthetics, just the colors, they kind of mix, I feel like, kind of like a watercolor type of background.
Yep, that's exactly what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of background with like the 2D animation type. And so it just allows the colors to like really pop, right? And then make that distinct difference between like the sky and the water, or the sky and like the city, especially if it's at night. And then all the colors I really like in the city as well. Kind of like it's like they don't take that color that you would usually see. It'll be like a different type of color, whether it's like purple. So I think purple is probably a big one for like city lights. So I really like that as well. I always want to see more Great Pretender, just because there's just so many like great scenes. So I hope they continue that. But yeah, that's all I have to say for that. I want to know your thoughts as well. I know you mentioned it, Gracie, for that episode for the aesthetics, but is there anything you wanted to add?
My fun fact is that I got to interview several people from the production committee for Great Pretenders, and I specifically asked them about the background, because I made the comment where I said I noticed that it kind of has like a watercolor painting feel to them, and I thought that was really different from what I've seen, but in like a good way. And I thought it was interesting because their response was that they had taken it as reference from an actual artist. Like, they saw an actual artist painting and it was watercolor, and they were like, can we translate that into an anime series? And they worked together with the team, and they were trying to replicate the style and then blending it with an animation style. And ultimately, the end result, as you saw, is something that was very, very beautiful, and they were very proud of it. So that's my sort of little tidbit that I can add in regards to the sceneries and visuals, because I noticed it even from the first preview when it was airing at Anime Expo.
Wow, that's really cool. Wait, so they took it from an artist that like was there that they might have seen, or like an artist's like style?
Yeah, so they saw, I cannot remember, I need to find the interview again, but they saw a particular artist's work, and it was watercolor, and they found it really, really inspiring. And they were just like, I wonder if we can blend it into our, oh wait, it's slowly starting to come back now. Okay. The reason why they were looking at artist work is because of that one particular arc. So they had already, you know, been writing this, and they've already been planning for this. And it was that one particular arc regarding a painting, if you remember, in The Great Pretender. And so they were looking at artworks because of that. And one of the artworks, and not just famous artworks, they were looking at just other small like art galleries and looking at artworks there as well. And one of the artworks they saw was a watercolor painting that they really, really liked. And they were like, I think we can try to like kind of mimic the style and then blend it with like animation and make it work in an anime. And so, and they went back to their workhouse and they all worked on it and they went through several drafts until they perfected it. So, so that was the full story of sort of the background in the series for A Great Pretender.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool because like there is that whole arc about art itself, or like paintings, like actual paintings. So I was curious as to what the pictures actually look like too. But yeah, that's a great tidbit as well. What about you, Agnes?
I regret to inform you that this is one where I was just like, beautiful sceneries and visuals? Oh. But I think it's also because I was very entranced about the attention and accuracy to detail of the actual monuments and areas that the team visited, both in real life and then also the heist members also visited during their time, like in Singapore or like in LA, which I found was very, very striking. But other than that, I regret to inform you that I don't remember much of the visuals and sceneries outside of that.
It's funny you say that because I distinctly remember when you were watching Great Pretender, you were taking screenshots of like stores that you noticed was like in the Singapore location. You were like, hey, this is real. You would show me a photo of the actual Singapore location from Google Maps or something like that.
Well, yeah, because that's like an actual like photo. Like that's like the monument, like copy pasted almost. So
yeah, no, so, but I'm like, you clearly remember some of the backgrounds of the series. I feel like if
I do, I do, but in like the scope of, I guess like my enthusiasm for the backgrounds and visuals as we talk more and more about it in this episode, I kind of am feeling a little bit more mute towards Great Pretender because it is actually like 100%, or maybe I'm contradicting myself at this point now. I don't know. For some reason, I don't feel that same enthusiasm anymore for the Great Pretender visuals, but that's just me. That's fine.
Okay. Do you have a favorite scene or moment, Isabel, for the background? For mine, it's such a short moment, but it's at the very end where, what's her name? Abby. Abby decided to climb the Grand Canyon. And she like climbed up and she sat down. It was just like a shot of her watching a sunset of the Grand Canyon. I like when I saw that, I remember gasping because I was not expecting something so beautiful. And I was like, this is beautiful. So that's definitely sort of the moment of the background that I remember. And I'm curious if you have any of your any that struck to you.
Yeah, definitely that stands out as well. For me, it was probably almost a lot of the scenes when they were in Singapore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially like the two buildings. I've been to Singapore. I don't remember that. I had been there probably like when I was way too young, but I remember the Merlion. That stands out to me. But yeah, between the two buildings and then how like the planes were flying through that. Just like the scene, like every shot of the city in general, or the country. I thought it was very beautiful, and so it made me like want to visit again or just like look at pictures as well. But yeah, that's the one that stood out to me.
I think the one that stood out to everyone the most in the Anime Expo premiere was that they did a very obvious lingering shot of the traffic in LA.
It's the traffic in LA, and I think the In and Out. They had an In and Out sign.
Yeah, they did the Hollywood, and then the In and Out, and but it was specifically like everyone was just like, you know, making noises and stuff when they were showing those. But specifically, it was when they were stuck in traffic that the entire room erupted. because I was in that room. Because also, fun fact, an earthquake happened while I was in that room. And so, but yeah, the entire room erupted when they saw like the specific traffic scene of LA, and everyone's like, yeah, you really captured it in that moment. So I think that's probably the scene or the background in particular that I feel like everyone in that room had the most impact on, just from the way they reacted. So yeah. Alrighty. So do you have anything else you want to discuss about Great Pretender or do you want to go ahead and wrap this up?
Yeah, I really don't have much else to say about Great Pretender unless you guys had another show you want to talk about at all.
Mm-mm, I am good.
I am also good.
All right. Nice.
Alrighty then. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed this particular topic today. And a big thing is, once again, our Anime Trending Awards is open right now for voting. So please go to our website and vote. And specifically, there are multiple polls. So don't just vote for the top anime of the year and then just think it's done. We have character awards, we have aspect awards, and we also have voice personality awards, which is regarding the voice actors and such. So make sure to vote into all the categories that is present there for our Anime Trending Awards, because the more people that vote, the more fun the results are. Even if I disagree with you guys, the more fun the results are. So with that being said, I hope everyone had a good time listening, and I hope you'll be here next time. Bye everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.